Blog Talk Radio.
Muli bonje,
Lord of House.
Ninaendo kula miji. Okay.
Vaonete comeno, vaonete comeno. Smile and wave. It's lights, camera, action. Mwine fili mundine, I'm the icon. Nibazira kuhone kafuleshi, allergic to messy. Moto kanimbama, nobody touch me. But if any is a nigga, had a conviction planted by the maker, saying you faker. There's only one truth you can use to navigate your way and produce fruit. Content with access arising and pleasing these human eyes when their hearts are so full of lies and don't value what is inside.
Good morning and welcome to our, I think I can rightly say, fourth segment for today, Roger. Our hours of operation have increased and our operations director didn't inform the staff, so we are in trouble. We didn't call in our area, but we will pay attention next time.
Yeah, okay. No, apologies from here, I'm sure. We didn't make that announcement.
Announcement. Yeah. We have all called in. Yes, it's Saturday, June 11th. It's already June 11th, Kevin. Dr. Kasson's amazing. Time is flying. And we are, like our previous guest from Madison, in Roger's introduction, we asked him how the atmosphere was in Zambia, and they are right in the thick of things concerning the campaign. This is the year that Zambia and the United States share the same election year, so it's interesting to follow what is happening. Now, what I want us to do on this segment, we may not have the time to talk about a lot of things. We try to see job creation, economic policy. And one of the things I noticed that we really don't pay attention, which comes up in the American election time, is the foreign policy. We don't seem to talk about foreign policy in our politics, Kelvin, in our campaign time. And I just want us to see what is going on over there. I'll be hosting this discussion from Dallas, Texas. My name is Nathan Tama. And I know we have got some very strong, passionate PF people. Somebody from UPND promised me they were going to call in. I can't see the number yet, so we shall try to wait. Kelvin, welcome back. Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan. How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend, Dr. Kabongson, neighbors with the president. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm coming up again.
Hey, I'm crying. I need to take a shower about because we're in Mombalala. I won't forget that. I'll talk about that. Let me just say good morning to Miss Elizabeth Azo from Pennsylvania. Hello, my Elizabeth. I'm sure she's making adjustments to her phone. So personally, I would like to give Pastor Lungu, President Lungu, this is what I've told myself, Roger. I'm only going to analyze President Lungu at the end of 5 years' term. I'm not going to say anything about him in this period of time that he has served as president. Now, for us to begin our discussion, okay, we are going to do this whether we have the UPND people or not. Roger is going to stand in for them, and like Elizabeth, you can do your thing. Yesterday, I know you can take any role. Yesterday, Dr. Kasson, Kelvin, I don't know whether you listened. There were two simultaneous events going on. Planned Parenthood and Faith and Liberty something. I can't remember the name of that event. Donald Trump was speaking at one event and Hillary Clinton was speaking at another event. I'm trying to lay groundwork here for our discussion between the two major contenders in Zambia, Patriotic Front and UPND, that is United Party for National Development. When Hillary spoke, it was very clear where the Democrats stand on issues to do with the same-sex marriage, abortion, and all those things and stuff like that. That kind of event where Trump was, it was also very clear. You could even tell whether he believed what he was saying or not, but they made him say something about the family, Roger, whether that was his personal conviction or they just made that speech for him. That's different. The question or the point I'm trying to make here, Kelvin and Dr. Kasonso, is that in this country where we are, the policies of the two major parties or political players in the political arena is very clear. When somebody says they are Republican, Kelvin, you even know where they stand on certain issues. When they say they are Democrat, you know where they stand on issues. I want to begin with this point, the issue of faith, okay? And Kelvin, we all know, you are not making a secret, you are passionate about it. Could you share with us what President Lungu's faith position and conviction is? Because he's been accused of being a chakolwa. So, do you know where Lungu has been or has been going to church? What is his faith? Is he SDA, Catholic, or what? Can you share with us about that?
Nathan, no, I don't think I can. When it comes to such deep personal things as which church he aligns himself with or whatever. Because one thing I've noticed about leaders in Zambia is once they become president, they can congregate with any church. For that, I mean, I can probably only speculate that he's United Church of Zambia. Don't quote me on it. I've seen him more, go to that church. I can't speak for his faith. I can't speak for his belief. I'd rather focus on, something else.
Okay. I don't know. Anybody, Bakasonso, Roger, Elizabeth,
yeah,
do we know?
I think I want to concur, Nathan. In our first hour, we talked about the one issue, which was very nice, on miracles. Why in Africa we seem to rely so much expecting a miracle? We got a quote from Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali said, "A miracle rises within you, not somewhere else." Bakasonso gave his background, how in the spiritual terms what that means. How yes, sometimes it might mean within you. Different angles. And one of the things we have seen in Zambia is our reliance on God in Africa, and our reliance on God. And then we do vis-a-vis Kunoko Twaisa. Why is it that Kunobantu, yes, they love God, but they love Africa, and yet we seem ukumanikokuchula sana. Not to sound cynical or something. Why is that the case? Then we bring it forward to our own leaders, especially in Zambia. You cannot be elected president if you are seen to be an unbeliever. So we have seen all these leaders come to church, that is a problem we have created for a benchmark. Instead of creating
hit, it's like you've read my mind, Kelvin. I respect what you have said, Kelvin, but I'm bringing this issue because you find that it plays such a role whether we want to ignore it or not, because you can see, Dr. Kalonde, you can see that the stigmatization of HH as being a Satanist has made a major role in the electoral process of Zambia. We can't run away from it.
And before they even come in, Nathan, imagine if this is the bar we set on corruption. Imagine how our country would be if this was a bar. But we have put on the Christianity as the highest bar. You should, one of the things, the top things you should show to the people. Before, if you say, I end there.
Okay. Anyway, anybody wants to respond to Vakasonso, Dr. Kalonzo?
Yeah, let's say something. Let's say something here. first of all, I think, let me speak now. At this time, I'll speak as a former pastor. It's former pastor in terms of running a parish and a congregation. Normally, the way we treat the issues of faith, it is incumbent upon everybody to repent who is a sinner and come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And if a person has proclaimed that they are a Christian, that is where we end. We do not have a mandate to start questioning their Christianity. So President Lungu has said that he's a Christian and he goes to church. We must be able to respect his faith and his commitment. Yeah, but even if his witness, personal witness in public, is not strongly based on his faith, but we must be able to respect that he's a man of faith and he believes in the Lord, and if Christ comes tomorrow, we shall be together, even if we may disagree on one or two things. The same thing, the same grace must be extended to Hagainde. If Hagainde is a Christian and he goes to this dear church, my aunt, where I was raised up in my uncle's house, it was SDA, and we used to sing the same hymns. They are Christians, and they are even some of the primary and fundamental people who supported my ministry in the early years, in my early 20s and late teens. And, you know, but they went to a different church. It was the same SDA church. They are Christians. So the being of a Christian is about receiving regeneration from the Lord Jesus Christ. So if a person has said they are, end the conversation. Now, enter faith in politics. Politicians can use anything to win elections. Let me give you a quick example here. When they noticed that George W. Bush was going to lose to John Kerry, and the state of Ohio was going to be the swing state, do you know what the Republicans did?
They brought in the gay issue.
Not the gay issue. Senator Kerry was on the platform. Actually, you are very close to the issue, but that was not the main issue. Senator Kerry was on the platform proclaiming the need to expand the federal investment in stem cell research. Now, in the Christian community, the way stem cell research is understood here in the evangelical world in America is harvesting unborn babies for scientific research to inject those cells in very old people so that they can become functional. And for the Christians, that is the same theory as Pharaoh saying he was going to be killing babies. That is the theory they use to go and gather black American pastors and other evangelical pastors. So the faithful were committedly strongly against Senator Kerry, and he lost by a flicker because he lost Ohio. But they used the issue of religion, that this guy is coming to promote stem cell research, and stem cell research is all about harvesting babies. And you know, they dug on that issue. And at that time, I was even in Ohio attending conferences and even attending some of these forums where this was said. So politicians can come up with a strategy and beat that drum. And unfortunately for Hakainde, the issue of pre-masonry has been beat a lot, that he has to find a way to survive it. So, with that
and
said...
And actually, I've always said that's what helped the late President Chiwawini. Although, of course, it was a revolution, but... He openly identified himself as a born-again Christian and the Pentecostal movement. Dr. Kalonde, where did this stigma of HH being a Freemason or a Satanist, for that matter, come from?
I missed your last part. My phone was...
I said, where did this thing about HH being a Satanist, being labeled a Satanist, come from? He has clearly said the Seventh-day Adventist. Why isn't that working?
There are two things that happens in politics. One is that you sell your perception or your perspective. Or two, somebody sells theirs or yours in a negative way. So what has happened is this is what even Hillary is talking about in terms of tags. You put a tag on somebody and you beat on it. So with Haka in the issue of Freemasonist, what has happened is Zambians don't even know what Freemasonist is. 90% of people talk about Freemasonist, they don't even know what it is. It's just a secret society, which most of other people, actually, there are a lot of free societies in the world. And to a Zambian, somebody says, is a Freemasonist, they'll look at it as Satanist, without knowing the whole essence of what Freemasonist does and what they do and how that started. Now, in terms of Hikainde himself, it is two tags that have been put on him, tribalist and Freemasonist. So the whole thing is some of these things are unraveling right now, like being called a tribalist. Is, you know, somehow wiggling out of that tag. Now, the Freemasonist, that's why they can't use the word Freemasonist. That's why they use Satanist.
Satanist.
Because, yes, because they want it to look very bad to the people in Zambia who are more holy. Some of them actually, they look holier than Jesus Christ. In Zambia today, when you talk to them, I'm telling you, it's so scary. So it becomes a bit tough for Hikainde to come out of it. But I pray that the Zambians can see through it and discuss it at a level that he has brought it, that you guys, I am a Seventh-day Adventist, I don't drink beer, I don't do this, I don't eat in Kumba, I don't eat in Milonge. And somehow, some few people will understand that, no, this person is as normal and is a Zambian as everybody else. And you know what's so funny about this Christianity in Zambia? I thought Christians say don't drink, don't smoke. That is the Zambian context. I have to be honest with you. It's not anywhere else, but they say, don't drink, don't smoke. But they all call themselves Christians, and who do they put in office as their president? Somebody who has been drinking in shawarma every day. So who's supposed to get that tag? You see?
Okay.
If he kind of was a good campaigner, he will flip it, or he can flip it. That way people look at the other person differently. But remember that there is more drinking in Zambia probably than any Southern African country. So when you tag Hikainde, Lungu, that he drinks too much, he's not a Christian, he's a drunkard, it does not resonate easily because everybody else is drinking. That's where the problem is.
Okay.
And very quickly, what Kalondia just said, Nava Kasonso. When someone says, I'm a Christian, and end of a conversation, and that is where the problem is. However, you are a Christian, it should also follow number A, B, C, D, your fruit, therefore, Bible, whatever. You should show the fruits of number. Why is it as a Christian nation to I'm a Christian and I've declared this day as a nation for prayer is a man of God and we don't question. And yet, half of what is happening today, what is wrong with Zambia, corruption is committed by Christians. Why are we not extending it further? Why is it the end of discussion? I'm a Christian. Chiruva was the same. Raising hands in here. A man of God wants to amba no paper and fasting of a Christian nation. He became one of the worst corrupt individuals. Walungu has come in place. Thank God to Sata. That's why I thank the Catholics.
bakatoni katawa bepefi abu fia spiritual shani kwenye baranda fia ine indikatori kaba no kunwalama tawa epa no bus bakatori kwa
kwa
wa
minetikin. Yeah.
It ends
okay,
there.
Thank you. Yeah. I know we've taken a bit of time on this thing, and let me welcome Bawiris Musonda. I'd asked him to come since he's also a strong UPND. Ramsonda, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Nkama. Mashukeni mkwai.
Hey, I'm quite welcome. We started
Thank
with
you.
The issue of the role of faith or religion in our leaders. I asked a question to bring you up to speed. One of our PF colleagues here to share with us, will explain what Walungu's faith position is. And we're also trying to talk about where this stigmatization of HH being a Satanist came from. But we have belabored that point, and I think I'd like us to move on. Would you want to comment on it very briefly before I go to job creation and foreign policy?
Just briefly, it's really unfortunate that there's been a smear campaign to smear or to damage the reputation of Hakainde Hichilema, because we all know he's a Seventh-day Adventist. He is, even by his virtues, the way he lives his life, he's very humble. And his life can be traced back. You know, he's a church elder in the Seventh-day Adventist. But his enemies have really, 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 you know, masked him with Satanism. I don't know where that comes from, but like what Roger was saying, we are a Christian nation, and these are the values that we must discuss. And you even blow it out of proportion. He's Satanist. I mean, we are all children of God. I don't think he's a Satanist.
Okay, thank you. I really didn't want us to beat this so much, but Alan, I'll let you speak. Please just hit it to the point. I know this issue of faith and religion, we can take 2 hours talking about it.
Yes, we can definitely take 2 hours. But you see, the thing is that it's politics, first of all. Now, HH's enemies have found a soft spot. And as long as it keeps working for them, they're going to keep hammering it. Even if HH went to the same church and sat in the same row as Walungu, but Walungu came to church on Wednesday and HH comes to church on Wednesday, Tuesday, and Friday, they would find something wrong with him coming 2 extra days and use that against them as long as it works. But you see, at the end of the day, ultimately, when we're picking political leaders, most of the time we're picking from two of which one is the lesser evil or which one is speaking to my agenda. And that's just the bottom line. That is all these things, they will not us with this and that, because whether it's FCJ, there are certain things that he did that were good for Christianity and a lot that was bad. Same as Rasata, same as Ramanawasa, same as all these guys. Ramanawasa got baptized after he got into office or something like that.
Your line, Alan, I don't know what you did to get your faint.
Oh, sorry. But
okay,
bottom line is that thank you. Bottom line is that in a political arena, your enemies are going to find your weak spot. And in our case, unfortunately, it doesn't have to be true. For some reason, it has worked against HH. It is not the fault of his enemies. It is his own fault for failing to turn it around. Because that's what you do when you're in a match. You look for what's my enemy's weakest spot. And they have managed to capitalize on lies. We should be saying, what about his advisors? What about HH's people, his team, himself? How can they not turn this around when we know it is not truth? So he should be going flat out with his people. The elders, the pastors in his church, the ministers in the SDA should be standing up for him and saying, listen, here's the track record. Look, here's what this man is able to. While the others are sauntering, they should be pretty much laying out his program. You don't expect his enemies to stop.
Yeah, it's true. The reason I brought up this discussion and I tried to explain it and put it out there on Facebook is that my argument is, in our politics, we do not vote on issues. We vote on personalities that we like. And to use Vakasonso's words here, he's also here to say, all politics are tribal. Even in America, where they don't have tribes, they are tribal, they are regional. My next question is that I'm looking at the UPND 10-point plan for Zambia here in front of me, and I have the PF manifesto as well. Okay? Very well elaborated and well written. And commerce, trade, and industry, if I may quote, is an engine for economic growth and thus strategic for job creation, raising incomes, consumption, and living standards of the people. That is what the PF, just that one line. I'm trying to look at job creation, Van Sonda. Everybody,
yes.
I'm going to go back to Van Sonda because he's on break. He just took a break from what to participate in this. So I would like him to maximize his time with us so that he can also speak for later. And then the UPND first point says create jobs by establishing a supportive environment for business that promotes investment, trade, economic growth, and diversification. Wamsonda, you know the argument that people are always hitting HH on, like Bacharia said here. UPND has never formed or never been in government. How do they intend to do this?
Okay. Well, Pastor, if you look at all the manifestos, I think one of the most beautifully made manifestos I ever saw was the MMD manifesto. So beautiful, mm-hmm. well written, you know, by university lecturers and stuff. But we know what happened, you know. Just like when you look at the PF manifesto and our manifesto, I'm sure you'll find so many similarities and so many promises. The biggest thing that UPND has always been hammering about is the regulations. Let's say, for example, I mean, if you, like you are saying, comparatively, they look alike. But it's the regulations that are going to change the thing. PND says we are going to do job creation. How are we going to do? Let's say, for example, we want the youth to be doing or to be producing furniture or to be producing. So we want the indigenous Zambians to be doing that. You know, the market is so open. The people of Zambia are in competition with foreigners, multinational foreigners with a lot of money. So until we protect our nationals, until we protect our own people, you know, and give them incentives that are more attractive than the foreigners, we are not going to solve this problem. And this is not only going to be on that point of job creation. Everywhere in that 10 points, UPND is going to take a deliberate policy to advantage the indigenous Zambian, just like we saw in Kaunda's era, Pastor. You know, we had sanctions during that time. But look at what Kaunda did. The National Council for Scientific Research was like the brain engine. We started producing Tarino. We started producing Tip Top. We could not get choice soap or washing powder from South Africa the way we were used. The Zambians started making boom, started making all those things because we had no alternative and the government put in regulations to help the Zambians. So until that is done, all this will be a song. And UPND realizes that, and that is what we are saying. Look at the manifestos. They are the same, but we are going to make a change. Regulations are going to change. The Lungu administration has lamentably failed. I don't know what happened, but this is some of the things they promised. They haven't done nothing. Maybe if Michael Sata didn't going to do it, but this tall guy with puffy cheeks, I don't know. He's not doing anything. So UPND is going to change the regulations to favor with favorable conditions for the indigenous Zambians, other than putting them at play or to compete with these multinational foreigners who have a lot of cash. You know, that would be my point.
I'll let the PF respond. Kelvin?
It's a pity, Ramsonda, that you are making, supposedly good points, but then you bring in, an issue of a puffy president. That's not right. You and I should be debating at a level, far much higher than this. UPND is living in a pipe dream. Those things they are talking about, that 10-point plan,
That's exactly what the PF are doing. Okay, when you talk about regulation, first of all, what opened up the Zambian markets was in 1991 when the MMD came into power. The nation had to do that in order to attract investment into the country, in order to attract new capital. Okay, what needed to be done then was to make sure that Zambians are empowered. How can Zambians be empowered? Develop skill sets. How do you develop skill sets? Create curriculums in universities, in trade schools that are going to increase the skill set of our people. Secondly, the biggest problem we have today is the over-dependence of Zambians on government. What is government going to do for me? We can't keep going on in that manner, okay? Third, you might say that the 10-point plan is the savior to Zambia's problems. No, no, no. You have to look at the attitude of ourselves as Zambians, okay? I'll give you a very, very typical example. Zambians living in the diaspora, how many of us have been able to unite to a common cause and create something that Zambians back home can look at and say, look at these Zambians in diaspora. They united, you know, as one, and they created this big thing, okay? These are the issues that need to be addressed. You're not going to talk about, we're going to provide the free education from grade one to university. The question is, how are you going to do that, okay? One thing I've always said is, look, let's not try to espouse policies of 1964. Those policies were prudent then because Zambians had been discriminated against. They were not given the opportunities that the white people had, okay? Those policies, up until 1991 perhaps, those were good for the Zambians. Today is a time when we have to be selling policies where Zambians participate in the well-being of their country, in their own well-being. This is what we are doing as a nation. When we embark on developing infrastructure, we are creating jobs, jobs that were never there. If this infrastructure was developed starting in 1991, today we would not be talking about that. Today we'd be talking about investing in different things. Those are the things we need to be talking about. And then let me just point out one quick thing, one very quick thing, Nathan. That tribal tag... One quick thing, that tribal tag on HH, that is self-inflicted because he never repudiated Axon Sejani, Siachaya Majenkuku, Mutinda Mazoka. When Mazoka died, they said only a Tonga can be president of UPND. He never repudiated Daniel Munkombwe when he said it's time for a Tonga to be president. That tribal tag, he's not going to shake it off because he brought it upon himself, and which is why
no.
Mazosata called him an underling.
Pastor, may I just say, rebuttal, please? Just 1 minute.
A rebuttal, then I'll go to Roger.
Yeah.
Before you speak, Roger, I want you to prepare to respond
Hello?
To Bamsonda. Hold on. Roger, after Bamsonda, I want you to respond to the facilitation of the environment for the local Zambians to invest. I think Zambia prefers foreign investments to local investment. Lamson, are you rebuttal Kelvin's
Yes. The previous speaker, Vankama, look, we are talking about one point. He has already gone to tribalism. This is a problem. This is the mentality in the PF that should be done away with. The previous speaker does not realize that economic emancipation did not start at during MMD. The points I mentioned when the National Council for Scientific Research started making boom, Tarino and all those, is before 1991 when we had sanctions, when there was, the Rhodesia thing going on. And as Zambians, we had no alternative, and we came together through our National Council for Scientific Research at UNSA, and we started doing that, you know. Then he's saying the problem with Zambians is government dependence. Come on. So are you telling me we should have no government then just start taking care of ourselves? Why in the world do we pay ministers? Why do we have? Why do we give them security, allowances, fuel, free housing? Why do we do that? It's for them to provide leadership. When they don't provide leadership, all leaders will come and say, no, the country is not helping me. No, we elected you to go there and espouse your policies so that it improves the quality of life of Zambians. The PF has lamentably failed to produce that leadership. So now they want help from the people. the people that they went to campaign and say, hey, ngamatumika putukachite. All they can talk about is the roads which Michael Sata planned. Are we going to eat roads? What does a road test like? You know, employment.
Oh, my,
what kinds of jobs?
I don't expect such a road argument from Mr.
Roger Mine, where I come from, you know the unemployment about the mines on the Copper Belt. Tell me what employment the jobs have brought. You know, it's only when regulations are changed. Up to now, you are still pitying the poor Zambian with multinational foreigners that Nangwale mind bail and whatever. I'm a foreigner with big dollars against the poor Zambian. So until you realize that, hello, if when did UPND govern? Nothing. That is why even that Sontapo slogan of yours is really just hopeless. How can you ask somebody to sonta what he worked when you didn't give him a chance to work? My brother, please, look at the history of Zambia before you comment on things like that. You are totally wrong. Thank you.
Nathan,
Roger,
can I respond?
We have limited time.
It's progress.
Economic, is the economic playing field level, Roger? Do we have, does the government, when I'm saying government, do we prefer, to me it looks like we prefer foreign investments to local people, Roger?
It is, I know it's departing from the previous no one, I'm sure, will convince the other. So I'm sure it will make our progress much less. Coming to this question of policies, let's take, for instance, the PF. What are they doing to promote local investment local investment vis-a-vis foreign investment? As we go,
yes.
What is in the manifesto of UPND, because that we should have UPND. One thing which I know about Barinaka, why I don't like Lusaka and the control of Zambia from the central government. Neither UPND or PF has really given me confidence to the locals to control the economy. Meaning, is Mansa, say for instance, Nana Tchinja planning on Yaba Mayor, are they going to be given power in Dalama, Yakusa develop Mansa on their own?
Yes.
Meaning, they are going now to push their own people in Mansa to raise a little bit of taxes from their people, invest in the local people. We are not seeing that either from PF or from UPND. Manifesto, but the two parties are not telling us that. Well, so if the people of Zambia, the locals, don't have money, where else? This is now we are vulnerable. We find that the Chinese will come with a little bit of money. They seem to be more welcome than our own people, because our own people don't have the savings. Central government has told us, don't worry about anything, we shall provide. Whether PF is telling us otherwise, we don't know. UPND, from what they have put on the platform, we also don't know at this stage. If I was to vote today, probably I don't know. I'll be like, is it Graham from South Carolina who says, I won't vote.
They are switching from Republican, the Ghost Brothers.
Yes.
They are switching. Okay, let me go to Dr. Chombo. Good morning, Dr. Chombo.
Good morning.
You are following the discussion here. I don't know which angle you want to come in or what you want to say. My question to Roger is, you heard me what I said. Does the government prefer foreign investments to empowering its people?
It doesn't look, I don't have all the facts, but it doesn't look like there's a level playing field that would, you know, accommodate our local investors or entrepreneurs. It, what it looks like is there are some things that are written that may look like the field is level and everyone can play, there's fair play. For example, they put that empowerment commission, whatever it was called.
Yes.
I physically went to those offices because I wanted to see what I could do and organize some people. They told me the process, and it looked like I could not get anywhere from there, you know, to organize some group of people that would benefit from that or start on some small scale businesses. You know, which means the things that are written look very good, but how are they implemented? And it's true, you know, there may be some things MMD put up, and I agree with someone who mentioned MMD earlier on. He says one of the best platform paper that was ever written was the MMD. And I agree. Mm-hmm. When they wrote that paper, I registered and accepted I got the card, a membership card for MMD, because I looked at that paper. That document was one of the best. But how was it, implemented? That became an issue. And someone there has mentioned that, you know, some of the things UPND is talking about are the things of the 60s, and this is not 60s. I tell you, there are a lot of things of the 60s that are applicable today. Let me take, for example, agriculture. The way agriculture was implemented in the 60s can be implemented today, and we can have food security. That's it. Kaunda looked at every community. They had cooperatives where they could do the marketing. There was no question of where are we taking the maize, when are we taking it. Everything was okay. Such policies are needed. There were some extension workers who took care of those animals, and, you know, they put up some centers where they went for vaccines and, you know, deep tanking or whatever. All those things are needed today. They are needed today so that, you know, the diseases, animal diseases, can be reduced, and those things were working. There are some things that can work that were implemented when Kaunda came in. Kaunda didn't just have the right people to work with, but he had the right policies. And because he was like the sole person, he became like a dictator.
He's a maker,
Yes.
He was the
So we can say that the policies that are there may look very good. They may look similar, but how are they implemented? I can tell you, PF has had an opportunity to show that, you know, something can be done in Zambia, but they have not. These few months, you will see a lot of things being implemented just for the sake of elections. And after elections, things will be abandoned. Projects will be abandoned. Even the road projects will be abandoned after elections. Okay.
I'll let Dr. Kalonde speak. Kelvin and Ramson, that you are going to have the last word. You are my key people here. Don't worry. Dr. Kalonde, you're indicating you want to say something.
Yes. Actually, in terms of development in Zambia and in terms of what was implemented in Zambia, what is being implemented today, you know, the situation in Zambia entails that there are some few things that we have to go back to. And going back to the basics for us to redevelop the country, I know that the PF, they've done some few things that people can point at that this is what we have done. And I go back again to my discussion of at what cost. You see, if I am going to develop my country, I'm not going to borrow money for consumables. There is some important thing that I have to do for me to repay that money. You see? It's like investing in a Lamborghini when I don't have money. I go and borrow money to go and buy a Lamborghini. What am I doing? You see, those are consumables. The roads, if the roads were bringing development, and development, I do not mean people going to Japan and buying those 40-hand cars and drive on those roads and just tear up the roads for nothing without bringing investment back into the country. Those are the things that they were supposed to look at. And when you look at the hospitals that they built, you look at the clinics, you look at the schools, there are things that are supposed to be done systematically. If you do things haphazardly, like you, the way it looks that it has been done in Zambia, then that's where the UPND and Mr. Msonda comes in and say, they did wrong here, they did wrong there. Just supporting PF without really thinking of the real development, then we are killing ourselves as a country. And one thing that people have said, let me go back to this one, about the Christianity, I didn't participate in that, about being Christian, uh-huh. about HH and Lungu being a Christian, and people have failed to see whatever. It's because Zambians, we are gullible. We are easily swayed for something that is not there. You see, we are sold smoke, and the fire is left on the place, and we go with it, which is wrong. You see, we're supposed to be serious in terms of observing what we're supposed to buy and observing development. You look at Copper Belt. The government is paving the roads. Now, they're paving roads. Meanwhile, all the money that is being spent on that, on the paving of the roads, is borrowed money and is being externalized. Every coin is going back to China. Where is the development? So we are going to pay for the roads after 5 years, and these roads will have potholes, and there will be no money to mend those potholes because we did not prepare ourselves properly. That is where PF has failed, and that is where UPND must come in and talk about those things to tell the nation that here our development project, here is what we want to do, and this is how we are going to do it. PF did not tell us everything. They didn't tell us anything, I should say, about their development. When PF was coming into power, does anyone remember their agenda? There was no proper manifesto from PF, only that people were embarking on one person, and that was Sata. And when Sata died, everything else disappeared. Exactly.
Everything that and died. James Bond died before.
Nathan.
Okay, Vaka. Thank you, Vaka.
Nathan, Kelvin.
Wait, Kelvin. I want Cletus to, you and Cletus are in the same camp. I want Cletus to respond.
Bye.
Then I'll let you and Bamusonda conclude. We have 12 minutes. I'll keep my promise. You are going to have the last word. Cletus? You've heard what has been said. I don't know where you want to come in.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, guys. You know, first of all, I thank all of you Zambians who have the concern and you have the time. Here in America and in the entire North America, we don't have the luxury of time. So whenever people convene like that, it shows that, you know, we are all concerned and we love our country. The second thing is... I wish to make a very clear thing about when we had the previous discussion on the net worth of the president. Everybody was yelling and screaming that, oh, the president has become suddenly rich. And, you know, and I'm very, very disappointed to tell you that people don't know what net worth means. It just means assets versus liabilities. So if Lungu is richer, like all they are saying, by $1 million in the last 15 months, they are not looking at the interpretation of the kwacha and its value. So if he had $1 in 2015, it has multiplied by virtue of the inflation into $2. So I don't even know. Maybe he has even been poorer. So people are not looking at all those calculations, except the uneducated yelling that the guy has stolen. It's very disappointing. The second thing is... everybody has been saying that PF had no manifesto, you know. So the people, you are literally saying the people of Zambia are stupid. They were just voting blindly, you know. And the stupidity will just, you know, backfire on us, the diaspora, who's supposed to know better. That the people voted and they voted for a government they thought would be better. And let's just wait for the results to come on August 12th.
More money in the pocket.
But you see what the purpose of this discussion. Wait, Kelvin. The purpose of this discussion is I'm trying to help us establish and create a situation where we
Do we really elect or vote for our leaders based on issues or the program that they are setting us, or we vote individuals, tribal, or whatever way you want to look at it, okay? And that's what we are dealing with here. Kelvin, you can respond, then I'll go to Bamson.
Okay. Bamson Danabakalonde, respectfully, let me just say I'm very disappointed by your opposition to the development of the road network in Zambia. According to your understanding, Wamsonda 1, we cannot eat roads. How do roads taste like? Bakalonde 2, does it mean people buying cars from Japan and things like that? No. Let me educate you on this aspect, okay? A road network enhances the economic development of a country, okay? As roads are built, let's give a situation of a Western province over the Zambezi Plains. People were taking close to 4 to 6 hours to travel from Kalabo to Mongu at a 300 kwacha cost. Now they are taking an hour and a half at a 50 kwacha cost. Okay? That, Roger, is money in people's pockets. You and I, who are able to reason and analyze things, should not look at the literal sense of words, of phrases. No, we have to analyze deeper, okay? We needed that road network in order for goods. Zambia is a landlocked country where goods are being shipped from DRC to Botswana, from Angola to South Africa, okay, crisscrossing our country. And in order to preserve those roads, in order to provide seed funding for maintenance of those roads, the PF government, in its intelligence, has opened up toll gates. You pass through this major road, you pay a toll. Those fees are going towards maintaining those roads, as opposed to when the MMD started the road project without a plan for toll gates, which would have been dipping more and more into our coffers for maintenance purposes. Come on, let's give credit where it is due. We are heading in the right direction, and the
Kelvin,
PF and
Kelvin,
Ed Kalungu
Kelvin,
need
my
to
brother.
Come back into
Kelvin.
Office.
Kelvin, my brother, Kelvin.
Roger, your floor.
Kelvin, you know, just a quick question. Yamato gets Waipushe. Let's take it as a personal project. We find where that money is going. If we are even going to find a cent which is going to go back to the roads, I can bet you today we do that project. We are not going to find a cent remaining. Already there are the questions being raised right now, where that money has gone and how they are accounting for it. Let's find out. Let's make that an argument.
But the biggest point I was making is... The foresightedness of this.
Let Vamsonda respond. I want Vamsonda.
Yeah,
respond
and I'll try to be. I'll try to be very quick. One, Kelvin does not realize that the MMD. I was an official in the. I was a law. I was just a constituency chairman. But I'll tell you that the first toll gate was built in Chirundu by the MMD government. So you don't compare PF to MMD because they are far much superior. They were before they became. The Rupia Banda's party. Secondly, when you say empowering Zambians, here is what we, the UPND, are going to do. We are going to take a leaf from, like, what Frederick Chiluba, for example. You people remember that we used to sleep at KMB to go to Mansa, to my province, or to go anywhere. KMB was like the center. I mean, Basiali Shupile, you know, it was very difficult. What did Chiluba do when he came? Remember? He just removed duty on any Zambian importing those minibuses. The effect is even being felt today. I'm a minibus. That problem, that puzzle has been solved. This is just an example of what we want to do as UPND. When you empower the people by the right regulations, not just talk with the beautiful manifestos, no. Do it on paper and walk the talk. You know, we are going to bring regulations that are going to do that. The second thing is the tarmacs, which PF have done a commendable job. But I'm not jealous. It's true. I've heard. I haven't been to Zambia, but in Sebonalawami. But you know, the toll roads in Gomovachilanda, I think it was Baroja. How much is being collected, and what modality is being used.
from the previous experience, we know what happens in Zambia. You know, ngaba poka contract along the way. Just like an example is International Airport. It's supposed to be refurbished and rehabilitated. Where is the money? It's gone. I want to wale nonka fye. Aba mbakombo ni wale wale chula. Aba kunonka wale nonka. Na wale fisendalama like weaving sand under the bed. No one knows where it came from. It's coming from all those contracts. So until we really bring discipline and regulation, Zambia is never going to change. That's why we need an economic manager. We need a kind of chilema in there. It's a total different breed. Mr. Lungu, I'm sorry. Mr. Lungu was not prepared for this office. And somebody mentioned that the people of Zambia were stupid. No, nobody mentioned the people of Zambia are being stupid. The people of Zambia voted for that guy on the basis of sympathy. When Michael Sata died, Guy Scott could not succeed him. We looked for the guy that was closer to him. Lungu was the basis of him being there. But Zambians now have seen what a mistake they made. We can't do the same, guys. He has even told us, you know, guys, I don't want to say a man, plan. And don't put me there. As if all of us were made by Satana. No. So the PF has lamentably failed. And we as Zambians should never be afraid of change. Change is good, guys. Try people. Look at how Israel does. Israel changes them like shit. If anybody promises something and they don't do it, they go. That's the way we should do it. So Edgar Lungu have no sympathy. That is a guy that has wasted Zambian people's time and money.
Next week, we are going to be talking to somebody from Africa Singapore Business Forum. This is an organization trying to get Zambia engaged with Singapore. We have 3 minutes here, Akason, so I want you to respond in 1.5 minutes. Are tax havens possible in Zambia to the nationals? We give tax havens to foreign companies.
No, they aren't. I don't know if I was even supposed to disclose this. I had a conversation recently with the minister counselor of the Zambian embassy here. One of the things he expressed to me was the need for Zambia to have a comprehensive tax policy. So he said we haven't had a tax policy, and you know, so because of the lack of the nation itself does not have a tax policy, and some people within the current government and some within the opposition know that we need to have that tax policy in place. So the tax haven are not a thing that Zambians can experience. And also, the policy implementation of tax policies. For example, Chiluba lifted the tariffs on the importation of buses to come in Zambia and stuff like that. But they left it like that. But so you know what does that mean? The people who buy buses, they buy buses from other countries. So they make the money in Zambia and go and pay industries outside of the country. So what they could have done is a few years later, close that loophole. And then after you close that loophole, start assembling those buses in the country. So you are keeping some of the money that is supposed to go out inside the country. So those are some of the things that can be part of the tax policy.
I need to stop you there. I think what we need to do here is my colleagues, Roger, Titus, and I need to get together and sort of work out a stage of time adjustment here, because, Roger, I think we need to do, like you said, we need to start doing extra time on these things. And Vamsonda, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, but Pastor Tatulani Lenapa education, I mean, we
no,
have a
we
brilliant
haven't.
Plan.
That's why I'm saying we
because
need to take
I,
the time.
I heard one person saying, how are you going to pay? We are going to do it. You know.
Okay. So, Kelvin, I always appreciate your passion, my friend.
And that is telling us how we are going to do it.
We will do it. I'll outline President Dichilema outlined everything in Kitu, and I'll be able. I'll be very happy to do that.
That blind following.
Next week. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Look at our Facebook page, Blog Talk Radio, for upcoming things, and we shall be moving from there. Have a wonderful
Thank
weekend.
You so much. Chifu kwa lelo, bantu bonse basobe saulemu.
Siunga ziwe, aza kutunga kusogoro.